You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is Gilbert. This is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre.
Oh, I'm not a sidekick this week.
Yes, I'm here with my co-host. Boy wonder.
Your youthful ward.
Yes, I'm here with my.
Formally.
I'm here with my male companion.
Oh!
Wow.
I'm here with my life partner.
Dreams do come true.
Frank Santopadre. And our engineer, Frank Verderosa, who's probably will lose this show.
Wait a minute.
And the man suffering from Munchausen syndrome by proxy, old Black Raybone. And this is Gilbert and Frank's amazing, colossal, amazing, colossal obsession.
Correct. Very That's good. It. That was that smooth as silk.
That was the half hour, wasn't it?
That
yeah.
was beautiful.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good night. We also have a special guest with us. Our friend Chris DeRose is here.
Hello.
Who has helped the show with mucho research. He's been a friend in deed. What is that expression? A friend in need?
Is a friend in deed.
Something like that.
Something like
that. He has a lovely voice for radio, don't you think, Raybone?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I do.
He is also a, how do you describe yourself? You're a tour guide? You're a VIP guide?
Yes, studio tour guide, which was my first gig at Universal Studios Hollywood. And then I've graduated up to VIP guide, which essentially means in the summer, I'll take around a VIP tour. Usually I plan your entire day, deal with families, and not only take you through the park, but show you through the studio. In the
and if line. Gilbert comes with the family, will you show him the, show him the Psycho House and take him around?
Have we'll you get done you that? Pictures on the porch of the Psycho House. Yeah,
have you done that, Gil? Have you done those tours?
Do they have, because it was made by the studio, do they have a problem child ride?
Oh, God.
One of the big franchises.
Yeah.
It's right next to Jurassic Park and The Mummy. Yeah.
That's terrifying. All right. Paul, how are you feeling?
Better than last week, but it's been tough. It's tough, you know, every week.
I heard you were going to a specialist.
Well, I was until he found out I was part of this podcast, and he turned me away.
Dr. Mobutu. Gomez's right. witch doctor.
Right.
We're going to start here. Go
this
ahead,
this interview sounded like when Dangerfield was on Carson.
Yeah, I'm all right now, John.
Yeah.
But last
I
week.
Went to my doctor, Vinny Gumbatz.
He says, I'm all right now, but last week I was in rough shape.
You got to take care of your health, Johnny.
Health is most important. These are some gifts. This one's actually for me, but I'm going to show it to you.
Well, fuck whoever sent
it. I get the rare gift. Usually I just collect stuff for Gilbert in my office, which is NetABC, which has now become the clearinghouse. But this was pretty cool. This is from a listener named Michael Caruso. And look what he sent. You know what this is?
A 45.
This is a 45, but look which 45. It's an original pressing. Can you read the name of the on the label?
Oh, wait,
he's
got to
put his glasses on.
Oh, shit.
Hang on. Frank, how about some syncopated clock while Gilbert finds his glasses? Read the name on that label, son.
Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Pickett.
That's the original.
And the Crypt Kickers.
How about that?
Wow.
How about
is
that?
Is that an authenticated original?
It is on Parrot Records.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. Pretty cool. Thank you very much for that, Michael Caruso, the rare gift that's actually from me. Gilbert, this one's for you. This is from listener Robert Schnackenberg, which I think is a Groucho character.
Yeah, I know.
Professor Schnackenberg sends this to you. You can open it on air so that Robert can have the pleasure.
Okay.
What did he send you?
And he has a card that says Schnackenberg.
Schnackenberg.
A bunch of
Chick Tracks.
Chick Tracks.
A million of them. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
You put those in your bike spokes.
Oh, my God. I've been reading these like crazy.
Gilbert asked how many shows ago, I don't know, what was that, Frank, back in Nutmeg days, he asked about this mysterious thing that he remembered.
In my old neighborhood in Brooklyn, they used to hand out these, like, what do you call the shape?
It's like a rectangle.
A rectangle.
Booklet.
It's a booklet.
And these booklets that were comic books, little comic books, and they would all have, like, these weird religious things where people would either accept Jesus or go to hell.
Right, and they would always end tragically somebody had not accepted Jesus.
And when you read these, if you weren't an atheist to begin with, you'd become them after seeing the ridiculous logic.
So he didn't remember. This was an episode we did with our friend Gary Girani, who I used to work with at Topps Trading Cards. And Gilbert didn't remember the name of these things, but he put it out to our listeners. And to show you what a loyal, crazed fan base, passionate fan base, people not only named them, but started sending them in droves. So that's about the sixth or seventh package.
Oh, my God.
Of those things that you've
received.
These
are great. They make zero sense.
Yes.
Absolutely no sense. I remember that time I brought up, like, finding, you know, looking into people's past. And one place said they could find if you had Neanderthal blood.
Right.
And I got about 20 people who tweeted me saying that which groups of people have the most Neanderthal blood. They knew about it.
People know too much.
Yes. Yeah.
Here's another gift. This comes to you from a listener who identifies himself as Lord Bloodraw. That's all there is on there.
Have the dog sniff this one?
Had the dog sniff that one.
That's a Bela Lugosi character.
It's two DVDs. And what's in there?
Oh, well, Bela Lugosi.
There you go.
A Triple Terror collection that has the Ape Man.
Look at that. Somebody knows you.
Scared to Death and the Devil Bat.
There was Lord Bloodraw was a character? Was actually a character?
It just sounds like it should be.
Okay.
And
I thought I missed one.
And Lon Chaney Jr. is the other. Indestructible Man.
How about that?
Devil's Messenger and Spider Baby.
Thank you, Lord Bloodraw.
I believe these people have come up on the show before.
Yes. Do these fans know you or what?
Oh, my God. It's scary.
What do you think?
Speaking from the fan base.
Yes.
I just want to say that there are now, especially working at Universal, there are a million things I come across almost daily. And I'm like, oh, God, Gil would love this. Well, they just put I was telling you before we turned the mics on. On the lot, they just put up a beautiful, brand new monster mural that pays homage to all the classic Universal monsters.
Oh, yes, you saw that. That was on Twitter. Did you see that?
Yes.
Tristan Eaton is the artist, and he's done art installations all over the world, but Universal commissioned him and said, you know, make this new, make this your own. But if you go to the lot now, there's, I believe it's Bride of Frankenstein, Dracula, of course, Creature from the Black Lagoon. They're all on this wall, and they're done so beautifully. But I was, and now, like, where everybody's buzzing about it, but I was like, oh, God, Gil would love this.
Do you get this on the tour?
If you take the world-famous Universal Studio tour, you can see this.
Led by Chris.
Chris and 150 other guys.
And others, 150 other guys. I would insist that you give it. You give it.
I would love to.
Gilbert, here's something you're going to love.
Wow.
This comes from our friend William Forsh. And open that up. That's pretty bizarre.
I'm scared.
That's specific to this show.
It's in a bag.
It's in a bag.
Looks like...
This is from Bill Forsh, who sends us a lot of cool stuff.
Okay, there's a picture of Oh, jeez. That's Swifty Lazar?
That's a picture of Swifty Lazar wearing giant eyeglasses.
Now, is that Candy?
It's Candy Bergen.
Candy Bergen.
I don't know who that is. Maybe Mrs. Swifty.
Oh, maybe.
Next, but open the bag.
That sounds like an ice cream store. Mrs. Swifty.
And he sent you...
Oh, I think it's Swifty Lazar glasses.
He sent you giant glasses.
Oh, my...
Frank, somebody sent him the giant glasses.
Looks like Edith Head.
Get it on. I gotta get this.
Get it on.
You get this? This is... he looks like Harry Carey.
Yeah.
Hi.
This is a... You get it? This is a gift from...
These would also
Bill
double
Porsche.
As... Ed McMahon glasses and the old Dean Martin.
Yes, I believe one of them is yours and one of them is mine. So I'll have Frank take a picture later before we get out of here of both of us that we can send to Bill Forge. Oh. How do I look?
More like Edith Head.
More like Edith Head.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
And the last gift.
Oh, these are great.
Oh, wait. He also sent, this is the next gift from William. But I also want to shout out Patrick Bodale, our friend Patrick, who sent Dara a gift. He didn't want to leave Dara out. So he sent Dara a very interesting gift that Dara opened moments ago. She had to run out to a movie. But it is a soap making kit. Where
yes.
He got the idea that you were into soap.
Who knows? And so this is... Those tiny pieces of soap,
yeah.
When it can no longer be used in a bathtub, you scrape it up and it makes a new soap out of old tiny pieces.
Yes. So these are very, very specific gifts
I just push them together with my hand.
Yeah. Let them sit overnight and then it's one bar.
We're actually going to get to a mini episode topic, but we're going to fly through these. And this is the last... This is the last gift, Gil. This is also from Bill Forsch, and I think Chris DeRose will get a kick out of that one too.
Oh boy!
Open it up.
Oh, it's a life mass, a miniature, and I'm gonna say is this Buster Keaton?
I believe it is.
Look on the back; it's got something on the back.
I believe it is.
John Carradine.
It's John Carradine.
John Carradine.
close.
That's what you said.
Didn't I say John Carradine?
The very funny John Carradine.
The other stone face.
Oh, see, now I can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is John Carradine, like around the time when he did The Howling.
There you go. It's a miniature life mask.
Is that a magnet? Is there a magnet on the back?
You can put it on your fridge.
Oh, I hope so.
Don't put it near the mic.
It's like Ebenezer Scrooge's door knocker.
And Bill also sent this for Paul Raybone. And I think that's toward your treatment.
That's
a dollar.
This is the second gift I've received of $1.
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand what that means.
He sent something for Frank, too, which Frank is telling me I keep claiming that I have, but it's in my office, and I'll bring it to the next mini. So thank you, Michael Caruso, Robert Schnackenberg, Bill Forsch, Patrick Bodale, and, of course, Lord Bloodraw.
And Bill.
I said
Bill. Dollar.
Oh, yeah. I said Bill Forsch. Okay. Quickly, John, our friend John Fotiadis, who Gilbert likes to refer to as Tom Fokiakis.
Yes.
And John, I know you're listening, said, hey, you know, Gilbert, Al Lewis comes up a lot on the show.
Yes.
Beverly Owen just passed away, the original Marilyn Munster.
Oh, yeah.
And we had John Astin
a
couple of weeks ago. He said, why don't you do a Munsters versus Addams Family episode?
Okay.
And I said, I think Gil would go for that.
Sure.
So I had Raybone do a little research. And what can you tell us, Paulie, before I read my notes?
Well, the two shows, oddly enough, ran for exactly the same time. They debuted the same week in 1964.
Yeah.
Ran for 2 years and were canceled at the same time.
Both canceled in 66.
So there are any number of things on the web which want you to comment on which you prefer. Munsters versus the Addams,
right? Yeah, it seems to be like the Ginger or Marianne.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it was funny. Around that time period, they would have identical shows opposite each other, like I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched.
Were they on opposite each other?
They were also, I think, like right around, they debuted right around the same time. My Favorite Martian. I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched, and there were one or two others, all sort of supernatural.
My Mother, the Car.
And opposite each other were Captain Nice and Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, which Buck Henry is still mad about that, because he was the creator of Captain Nice, and he claims, which was on NBC.
Yeah.
And then CBS came up with Mr. Terrific.
Oh, yeah.
Which he said was Dirty Pool.
Yeah.
When we had him on the show. But they were both an answer to ABC's Batman.
Yeah.
Which was a sensation. Yeah. In 66. But let's talk a little bit quickly about Adam's Family and the Munsters and a couple of things we didn't get to when we had John Astin here. Like Paul said, both debuted, what, September 18th was the Adam's Family in 64, right, on ABC. And the Munsters premiered on the 24th on CBS, created by Alan Burns and Chris Hayward. Alan Burns is still around.
Oh.
Also one of the creators of the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Wow.
There's a different flavor. We can see if we can find him. Shot in black and white. Did you find this, Paul? Because the studio didn't want to pay an extra $10,000.
No, I didn't find
per episode to shoot in color.
It's better in black and white. So that
yes,
yeah,
because it matched the old Munster movie.
Well, they made that movie Munster Go Home in color.
Yes,
which is a little strange.
So this is one thing that I wondered about that came up. I don't know if among the group here we have an expert on the early Universal horror films.
We just might.
But
and the Munster House.
The Munsters were supposedly inspired by those movies.
Chris, do you know this backstory?
Do you? I mean, I'm not sure I could see
well,
that.
Well, it's Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman.
Right. But the Addams Family has some of the same or similar characters, too.
Well, so the Addams Family was based on a cartoon.
That was based
on
a cartoon of the New Yorker.
I don't remember which. I saw a documentary at some point back when I started at Universal, and I think it was Addams Family got greenlit. And then CBS was like, we need a monster show.
Yeah, I think that's
and
right.
And then
supposedly Lou Wasserman, who was running Universal, said, we have these characters licensed. How can we exploit them for television?
Exactly. And
there was a treatment written.
And just about that time, we're talking 64 or, 63 probably is when it's in development. The Munsters or the monsters, the Universal Monsters, the last great Universal Monster movie was probably what? Creature from the Black Lagoon? That was what, 53, 54? So
it had been a while.
It had been a while.
And, over a decade, yeah.
And everybody was going for it.
I remember.
Excited about it.
At one point, they were advertising this movie as the next big classic monster. That was the commercials. And it was The Incredible Melting Man.
Oh, God.
Who was in that?
I don't know. There was like a guy with goo dripping on his face that he was an astronaut.
Wow.
And he got some kind of rare space disease.
I've heard of the film.
And he was melting.
Yeah. I've heard of the film.
And so he was the next classic to be there with Frankenstein and the Wolfman.
Ooh. So that is the story. I mean, they had these characters, mm-hmm. and they said, what can we do with this? It was developed by two writers named Norm Liebman and Ed Haas, but what I found in my research was they threw a lot of writers at this thing before they basically landed on something they wanted. And you can tell us about the Munster House.
Well, the Munster House,
which is on the lot.
It's still on the Universal lot, and actually it's on what we call Colonial Street on the back lot. But if you were an ABC's Desperate Housewives fan, you would know it as Wisteria Lane.
There you go.
And it was actually used not only on Wisteria Lane or Desperate Housewives, but it's been used in any number of shows. I was just watching a couple months ago. I was watching Super Troopers 2, and the very end of Super Troopers 2, they do a whole scene on Colonial Street, and the whole backdrop, they're supposed to be in just a suburban neighborhood, but they're standing in front of the old Munster House. If you saw it today and you didn't have somebody like me pointing it out to you, you probably wouldn't know that it's the Munster House. But the house was originally built for a movie called So Goes My Love, which was 1946, I believe.
That sounds right.
Right.
So, yeah. So they actually built that house and subsequently the Harvey House for Jimmy Stewart's Harvey House. They were both built for that movie. They were both put in Soundstage 12, which, again, if you're taking the tour, the first thing you see when you enter the lot is the oldest and largest soundstage on property, and that is Soundstage number 12. Subsequently, Jurassic Park. That's where the visitor center was. That's where Tony Montana's mansion was. The interiors for Scarface.
That's cool.
The interior of the clock tower in Back to the Future. Frankenstein's lab, Dracula's castle were all in Soundstage 12. So Goes My Love. Nobody knows it anymore.
I hadn't heard of it till today. Till I started doing the research.
It's a forgettable film. But after that movie, they moved, and the lot has changed a bit. But they moved those houses out onto the lot and were using them basically as shells and facades. And then in 64, that's when they turned it into the Munster House. And another movie that I love that was right around that time, and if you ever watch it, is Don Knotts' Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
Oh, it was the same house.
It wasn't the same. They used the Harvey House.
Oh, they used the Harvey House.
But you can see, if you look closely, because it's all on that street.
Now I got
to
watch it
they're
again.
They're shooting around the Munster House, because the Munster House is basically dressed and ready to go to be the Munster House. But the Ghost and Mr. Chicken House is the Harvey House.
I got to watch that.
Dana Gould's
favorite movie.
I'm not sure if this is true, but I always heard that Sammy Petrillo, the freakish Jerry Lewis clone from Duke Manti and Sammy Petrillo.
Duke Manti
was a different Humphrey guy. Bogart. Humphrey Bogart and High Sierra. No, Duke Mitchell and Sammy Petrillo, who was the zero-budget Martin and Lewis.
Yeah, no frills.
And that Sammy Petrillo wrote a pilot called My Father the Monster.
Oh, I know this story.
And it became the Munsters.
He claimed it. He claimed they ripped him off.
Which I think he might be full of shit, but I don't know.
Was the house used in 1946 for Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man? Because that's what I found.
I have.
And Rockabye, Jerry Lewis' Rockabye Baby.
In Meet the Invisible Man in 1951. Could that be right, or is that right?
Built in 1946. I got the wrong year. Right. Built in 1946, and then, yes, you got
also,
the year right.
The house was also seen in 1958 in Jerry Lewis' Rockabye Baby.
Yeah.
Is this but, all you know, with,
That checks out. They also used, again, because they're almost a pair, the Harvey House. I call it lovingly the Harvey House.
Mm-hmm.
But there is some story, and I've never been able to, I'd have to check with Norm, who's kind of my boss, who's also our historian, our go-to guy for
obscure.
We'll come off the tour route and just be like, Norm, I got a question about Leonard Nimoy and his being on the lot.
Oh, he's the guy.
Yeah, and okay. He's like, okay, let's sit down.
We'll
let's
look
talk
into
about
it.
Now, but
also, I remember on the Munsters, at one point, one of their relatives, the creature of the Black Lagoon.
Oh yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
And do you remember what his name was?
Oh, boy. No, I don't know this.
Uncle Gilbert.
Gil. Get it? Gil.
Yeah.
The Gil man.
But the only old horror actor. This drove me crazy with the Munsters.
Well, Carradine was Herman's boss.
Yeah, John Carradine, only one. And I figure Karloff was alive and Lon Chaney Jr. was alive.
They might have turned it down.
Yeah, I don't think Lon Chaney Jr. would have turned on the
beat. He needed the work.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who was almost cast, this has a podcast connection, if this isn't bullshit, and this is what I found, Billy Mumy. Because Lost in Space did not premiere till 65, and that Billy Mumy auditioned for the role of Eddie, but his parents disapproved of the makeup.
Oh.
And want to put him in all that makeup. If we get Billy back, we'll ask him that.
And Billy Mumy was a Jew, we found out. Still is a Jew.
Still alive. That's the most important information.
If Billy Mumy, if you're still out there, if you're still alive, you're a Jew.
A little bit about the Addams Family, too. And we had Astin here. Did you hear that show, Chris?
I love that show.
Wasn't he great?
He was fantastic. And I've had interactions with his son, Sean, uh-huh. Who's an amazing guy.
Lovely guy. They made it happen.
They really,
Sean and Mackenzie, they got him here
absolutely.
For us. Absolutely.
I've gotten so many things on the internet how much they love John Astin.
I think it was our most popular episode in a long time. What I found is they were using recycled sets from the movie The Unsinkable Molly Brown.
Oh,
at the for the Addams Family
with Debbie
set.
Debbie Reynolds.
Shot by the company Filmways on what is now Sunset Las Palmas Studios, created by a guy named David Levy, which is the story that John told on the show, formerly an ad man, and developed by Matt Nat Perrin.
Oh!
Of Marx Brothers fame. Not Matt Perrin, as I just called him. Nat Perrin.
Well, he never actually, did he? Oh, Nat Perrin.
Nat Perrin.
Yeah.
And as we talked about extensively with John, they were the first TV family to imply that they had an active sex life.
Ooh.
Although, I was doing the research today, and it turns out in 64
the
episodes.
The Munsters shared a bed.
Yes.
No other TV couple shared a bed until the Munsters.
Lucy and Ricky were always separated.
Interesting.
They always had twin beds.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I don't know if anybody
Dick
was
Van
in bed.
Dick Van Dyke and his wife. Petra. Yeah.
But,
twin beds.
You know, in the Addams Family, there's a lot of interaction between John Astin and...
Which was some of it was real.
Yeah.
They really had the hots for each other, but made a decision to keep it professional.
Yeah.
They never actually kissed on the...
I would have fucked her.
You would have fucked Grandmama.
I would have fucked Pugsley.
God.
Why didn't they just call him Weatherwax?
Weatherwax.
Well, an interesting universal connection to Addams Family, if you take the VIP tour that I can also lead you on, we go into our properties department, and we're the only way anybody who's not in the industry can get into the properties department. The what is it called? The Iron Maiden that sat in Wednesday's room,
right,
is one of the oldest props in the properties department. And unless it's still, it sometimes it gets rented out.
That's
as
great.
Most props do. You can actually see it and stand in it. And it was also used in Abbott and Costello Meet Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
No kidding.
Wow.
And you'd have to ask me or one of the guides to point it out to you, but. And it's a little worse for wear. I really hope they restore it. But Grandpa Munster's organ.
I beg your pardon?
But I'm
it's very much the worst for wear. The man died in the 90s.
They have it wrapped up in aluminum foil. Oh.
The musical instrument played on.
Forgive me.
That is also in the properties the properties department.
Well, we got to get there.
Exactly.
Is there much call for an Iron Maiden, by the way? Do the people come and rent them often?
You know,
parties?
Every once in a blue moon, you'll see a hold sticker on it, and I'm like, oh God, who's using the old Iron Maiden? I believe they also used it when they did the Addams Family movies. I think it's in the Addams Family
movies. I love those
movies.
Quick trivia, John Astin chose the name Gomez over the name Rapelli.
Ah.
They gave them the choice of what they wanted to name their characters because the characters in the New Yorker cartoons did not have names.
Ah.
As we pointed out with John, Pugsley was originally named Pubert. But they thought it sounded too sexual.
Oh, puberty.
Yeah. And Nat Perrin provided the voice of Cousin It.
Yeah.
And Felix Silla is still around, the guy who was wearing that Cousin It costume. Filmways did not want to pay singers, so composer Vic Mizzi sang the song in three different voices.
Vic Mizzi, who also wrote what great television theme song?
Why?
Green Acres.
You sure bet. Wow. Sure, he sure did.
Oh, wow.
He sure did. I got to meet Vic a couple of times because he was a friar before he passed
really?
Away.
That's amazing.
Quickly, some trivia. Okay, Gilbert, we're going to, as we go out, we're going to try to stump you.
Gilbert's nervous.
Quickly, I know Frank will add some quiz music to this later in post. What was Gomez's occupation?
Ooh.
Anybody? Chris?
I
Raybone?
An optometrist came to mind, but I don't.
I know Herman was an undertaker.
Yes, he sure was. He was a gravedigger. Gomez was a lawyer.
Oh.
He was a shyster lawyer.
Oh, I can see that.
What was Morticia's maiden name?
Ooh.
Jesus.
It was Frump.
Wow.
And Margaret Hamilton, who we talked about last week, guest starred on the show as Granny Frump.
She was a lesbian.
Yes, let's point it out. I don't have that on the card. Yes.
The show was all about that.
In the credits. In the credits, they
different
said.
Different show.
In parentheses, she's a lesbian.
Yeah. Yes, Bruce Valanche described her as a lesbiterian. To be exact. What was the Addams Family home address?
Oh, yeah, don't know.
Anybody, any takers? 001 Cemetery Lane.
Oh, I should have had that.
And this is a layup for you, Gilbert. What was the name of Wednesday's beloved doll?
Oh.
I'll give you a hint. It was missing a head. Our listeners are screaming.
Oh, I've seen
Marie
the doll.
Antoinette.
Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
And quickly, Munsters, who provided the uncredited voice of the raven on the wall that went, "Nevermore!" Remember the raven that was like a cuckoo clock?
It wasn't the guy from Citizen Kane, was it?
Everett Sloan? That would have been great. It was Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc.
Uncredited.
Unbelievable.
And later an actor named Bob Hastings, who was on McHale's Navy.
Unbelievable. Mel Blanc.
Nevermore.
Did we talk about the address of the Munsters house?
It's on my list.
Okay.
What was Herman and Lily's home address?
Well, Mockingbird Lane, but I don't...
13 Mockingbird Lane.
The tour guide knows.
Well, it's the first stop on the Universal Tour in 64.
What was the name... Here's a counterpart question. What was the name of Eddie's beloved doll? We talked to Butch about
Wolfie?
It.
Wolfie?
Wolf,
Wolf. Wolf, Wolf.
Wolf, Wolf. Very good.
Or Wolfie.
And yes, when he was on the show, when Butch Patrick was on the podcast, he said he made up a bunch... He had a company make a bunch of extra Wolf Wolf dolls that he would sell by mail, and he would buy drugs.
That's a true story. It's true. Sad, but true.
He's the only one left, right, from the cast.
He's the only cast member left.
Wow.
Well, Pat Priest, the second Marilyn, is still with us. Okay, Gilbert, last one. Which two beloved, and one of them is oft talked about on this show, comedic character actors, played the family physician, Dr. Dudley?
Ooh. Not. I remember Louis Nye being on one.
Louis
of those
Nye was
shows.
Zombo. He was Eddie's hero, monster hero.
Oh, okay.
But the doctor was played by one was Dom DeLuise.
Oh,
and the second one would have said, "This place smells like." I don't know, ether?
Paul Lynn! this place smells like cunt.
Paul Lynn was Dr. Dudley on the Munsters. Last question, I lied. Which legendary comic or what legendary comic appeared on both shows? We lost him recently. One of the great iconic stand-ups of all time. Gentlemen, you want to take a...
Don Rickles?
That is correct!
Whoa! Mr. Rhodes!
For the win.
For the win.
Wow. Yes.
So one other little nut. We talked about how the Munsters try to recap the Universal Monsters. But the writer-producer David Levy said he wanted to capture the flavor of the old Marx Brothers films.
Yes, that's why he hired Nat Perrin.
That's it.
Yeah. Thank you for that anticlimactic note.
Yes, that killed the entire show.
The show was flowing along too well, and I was
going to say, I don't know if this takes us out on a better note.
Yes, better than
take
like
a shot.
America's Dad, Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Actually, has been on our Colonial Street several times. One of the classic movies that we all love as tour guides, The Burbs.
Oh yeah,
Hinkley Hills and The Burbs. That's the entire.
Right.
Colonial Street.
That's right.
The Munster House is Corey Feldman's house. His next door neighbor in that movie, a podcast guest, God, I'm blanking on his name. Dern.
Bruce Dern.
Bruce Dern is his neighbor in the movie. So when Bruce Dern falls off of the roof in The Burbs, Corey Feldman jumps off of the porch of the Munster House and runs up to he's like, "Oh man, are you all right? We all saw that. Oh wow." So it's in more movies than you think. And it doesn't look anything like it used to. But the one thing I wanted to tell you, and this might be more for the old Harvey House, there is tell that part of the Harvey House and maybe part of the Munster House, because they've changed so much, the cupola was actually taken and used to build the Psycho House.
That's cool.
Jeez.
Which is also still on the lot, the original Psycho House.
That's very cool.
And I have to, don't quote me on that, but it's one of the two houses.
On the set of the Munsters, did Paul Lynn ever say, "Hey, Eddie Munster, come here and bounce on my lap"?
He might have made a better Zombo. Quickly before we go, and I hate to do this because it's nonsensical, but if you had to pick, since people pick one... pit one show against the other. Chris.
I'm going to toe the company line. Munsters.
Munsters. Paul.
I go with the Addams Family.
Gil.
All apologies to John Astin. You were one of our greatest guests, but I was a Munsters fan.
I adore them both, and Al Lewis makes life worth living, but I'm going to pick the Addams Family.
Oh, it's a tie.
It's a tie. So we'll throw this out to the listeners. Well, we'll have Frankie cast the deciding vote. Frank?
Is it a tough one?
We're out of time here.
I'm going to go with... I think I got to go with Adam's Family.
All right. Sucking up to the Astons. All right, Gilly. We'll put that out to our listeners. Any preferences, post them or post any fun trivia you have about either show. Thank you, John Fokiakis, for the
And this
premise.
Has been Gilbert Godfrey, Gilbert and Frank's...
Did you just mispronounce your own name?
I did. Yeah, okay. It's gotten to that point already. It's like, give Gilbert his cocoa and put him to sleep.
Thank you, gents.
Well, yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you for doing the show and all you do.
Thank you, Chris.
Really.
Did you sign off?
You're too kind. Did you sign off?
This has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
I feel better already.
Bye-bye.